showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It was hard to get to the ballpark yesterday. Streets were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Parking lots could not be filled. And still 33,000 people showed up at FanFan Field for that game yesterday. That's how important this team is right now to the city of Milwaukee.
Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here! Isaac Collins walks it off against the Mets. You can't make it up.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
They're great. They're good. They're the best team in baseball by the furthest imaginable amount you could ever fathom. They're so good, they're rewriting what young Brewers fans are going to think of this team moving forward.
Left on the track is Lockridge. He's there. He makes the catch. Can you count to 14? It's a franchise record for the Milwaukee Brewers. The longest winning streak in the history of the ball club.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Brewers postseason pocket pancake breakfast, presented by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. Here's Alex Strofe and Gabe Neitzel.
Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are. Come see what the Brewers are doing.
What a morning to be out in the Yountain Euchre lots of American Family Field for the pancake breakfasts that the Brewers have going on. Donald Driver up there talking right now. This is a wild scene. Gabe Neitzel, Cousin Sub of the Day, Alex Strofe, hanging out here today, and we are brought to you by the Neurospine Center. If you've got neck or back pain, let the top nationally rated spine specialists at Neurospine Center of Wisconsin help you get back in the game. They present all of our Brewers coverage, and we're getting ready for some postseason coverage with just 3 days left in the regular season. So last year, Strofe, when I was out here, it was for, they did a drive-through tailgate. Mm-hmm. And the Brewers, kind of like this year, it wrapped up the NL Central pretty early. And at that point, we kind of knew the Brewers were going to be playing in the wild card round. We're going to have one of the top records of baseball. And they just drove everybody through. And it was a drive-through, you know, handing out brats. Guys like Donald Driver, Tarek Sala was here.
That's
handing
right.
out brats. Robin Yount was here. And
I like that Tarek Sala gets top billing above Robin Yount, but continue.
Well, I just remembered him wearing his Brewers jersey,
yeah.
you know, sitting over there, and then we had Robin on the show, and it was great. And this year, they have upped the game even further. You can still drive through. They're not doing it through the parking lot, but just outside of the parking lots here on the back part of the property at American Family Field. But there are a lot of people here. They've got a giant tent. As I mentioned, a polka band is up on stage, a lot of tables. So if you want to, you know, not eat your pancakes in the car on your way to work, you certainly can. You can go that route if that's what you want to do. But you can come by, line up for your pancakes, get them, sit down, see everything that's going on here, and the energy at 7 in the morning, and this thing started at 6, so it's been rocking for an hour already. The energy for this team, I cannot wait for them to open up the National League Divisional Series a week from Saturday against either the Cubs or the Padres.
I'm with you. The very first thing I heard somebody say this morning, and I don't know if they dipped into the booze at 6 a.m., but the very first thing I heard somebody say was, you can feel the magic. You can feel the magic of a pancake breakfast. County fair vibes, I heard you talking about on WTMJ.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's fair because they got the giant tent. You got the pennants all throughout going from post to post that are holding up the tent. The great, classic, you know, checkerboard pattern on the tablecloth.
There's so many rural areas in Wisconsin that do, like, breakfast on the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
absolutely.
That's the vibe I'm getting here.
If you grew
at
up in rural Wisconsin, like we did.
Yep.
Every county has one. I certainly remember breakfast on the farm as the kid, and that's the kind of feel we have here. And then sprinkle in excitement about Brewers baseball on top of it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I tried the pancakes, fluffy, solid, delicious.
Wait, how did you get pancakes?
That's neither here nor there, my friend.
I drive him to the show.
I only got one.
We welcome him, Joshy. We welcome him into the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy family. And here he goes and gets pancakes without me?
So, well, you were busy doing other stuff.
Working on your show?
I believe you. Yeah. I'm working, too. I'm doing field research. I'm checking out the polka band. I'm trying the pancakes. I got to talk about the experience we're having. You can't get mad at me for that.
The pancakes.
I'm doing my job here.
Share the
so,
pancakes.
I believe you were quoted as saying to Joshy prior to the show, what?
I didn't know where you went. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to do TMJ.
I have no idea where Strofe is. And to me, that's like, yeah, of course. There's people there. There's excitement.
Yeah.
He's much like, you know, when I walk my dog and he sees a squirrel and he loses all attention and just runs towards it. That's yeah. Alex Strofe when you take him out on the road.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a golden retriever energy to me. But again, I want to understand what's all going on here. Gabe said he was here last year for the drive-through tailgate, and I wasn't. So this is my first time getting to experience something like this. And I cannot undersell the home run the Brewers have hit with this event. We've got the polka band. We've got the celebrities. We've got the pancakes. We've got the custom bottles of syrup. We've got coffee. We've got tables. We've got people. We've got Brewers baseball looking for win number 97 tonight. Couldn't be much better than this.
Going for that franchise record. And again, a win gives them the best record in baseball. Quint Priester on the mound. And that's why I'm kind of curious what the Brewers do if they win tonight against the Cincinnati Reds, who are still somehow, despite their best efforts, very much alive for a wild card spot. And that final wild card spot that is up for grabs in the National League with the Mets playing as poorly as they have over the last month. So the Reds still have something to play for. The Brewers, should they win tonight and extend that Quinn Priester streak, would it be extending it to 20 if they win tonight?
It'd be 20 flat.
So they have won their last 19 games in which Quinn Priester has been the starting pitcher.
Which is truly the most bizarre stat you've ever heard.
It's up there, certainly.
Don't get me wrong. He's played phenomenally. He's pitched great this year. This doesn't happen.
No.
I don't care. We talk about Paul Skenes, who's likely going to win the NL Cy Young, right? Yep. The guy's lost how many times, Gabe? It's double digits.
Oh, yeah.
It might be high double digits.
With an ERA under 2.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what that ERA would be had the Brewers not roughed him up a couple of times.
So that's the point I'm making, right? Paul Skenes of the Pirates has pitched phenomenally.
Yep.
But the offense hasn't backed him up.
Well, yeah,
and he hasn't gotten the wins. It's the Pirates. I know they stink. It's a very different situation than what we have here in Milwaukee. But Quinn Priester winning 19, looking for 20 in a row in games he starts, is truly the most bizarre world statistic that I've heard in the game of baseball in a long time. It makes me very happy. I'll be at the game tonight. The last time I went to a game and Quinn Priester pitched, he had 10 strikeouts.
Oh.
So I feel like I'm bringing good juju to AmFam Field tonight.
Yeah, so I'm just curious if they win tonight, what they're going to do over the next couple of days, because you already have a week off. You've clinched a bye. No matter what happens over these next 3 days, we know the Brewers
postseason just get one win. Get one win.
But what do they do over the next two? What do they do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Do you shut everybody down? Do you still want to get guys at bats? Because again, if they were playing on Tuesday in the wild card, I understand. Okay, we're going to get some guys. We're going to give them some time off.
Mm-hmm.
The time off is built in because of the reward of the record that they have been able to put together.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, and again, one more win, they get home field advantage throughout the entire postseason. That they are going to have that advantage going for them. So I'm just very curious to see what happens on Saturday and Sunday. Should they win the game and extend that unbelievable streak with Quinn Priester tonight? That's what I'm curious to see and what the thought process is of the Brewers, because there's not a lot of data out there about, what happens when you get a bunch of time off in baseball, because it's still so new,
mm-hmm.
right? Like in football, they've even taken away a bye, but still, the bye's been around forever. This point. So it always ends up being the debate. If you have that number one seed wrapped up, do you rest guys? Do you, because you got time off, but you don't want guys to get injured, how are you going to handle this entire thing, right? And that's kind of ends up being the debates there. In baseball, getting a bye, they just started this within the last handful of years, mm-hmm. of the wild card round and the extra, the extra wild card spot and everybody getting to play in a 3-game series that's still so incredibly new. And the time off is, okay, how do you handle this as a team? And it's an interesting thing because, baseball, it's a game of rhythm and habits, and you get into, the flow of a season, and then it comes to a crashing halt for 5 days as you're going to get time off before they open up their postseason run next Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to anticipate this weekend. Obviously, the big one, and I know we talked about this earlier in the week, is Trevor McGill is expected to pitch Sunday. And that's the outside of the, can Quinn Priester finish the regular season by winning a 20th straight game, or I guess the Brewers winning a 20th straight game when he starts, is the actual phrasing I'm looking for there. Outside of that, what does McGill look like? Because I have no idea what to expect now that it's been a month since he's pitched. He's dealt with a couple of setbacks. The elbow hasn't been responding well. Can he pitch, A, well, and B, can he respond to say, okay, yeah, I think I'm good to go. I'm geared up for a playoff run.
But it seems like the forearm is the injury for him. So it seems like the forearm is at a spot where, I mean, again, if it wasn't responding, he wouldn't be pitching on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it would be shut down, and we know that what the bullpen would do. And to me, it just gives you that extra, you know, high-leverage arm, you know, to put out there. I assume he just kind of falls into that closer spot, and he's going to be, you know, your ninth-inning guy. Or, again, as we've seen with what they've done with Abner Uribe and Jared Koenig, mm-hmm. they kind of mix and match there.
Yeah.
Like, Abner is typically the guy that they'll go to, yep. and he'll throw the ninth inning. Unless, we've seen it a couple of times, hey, we think the higher leverage is in the eighth inning, and we like the matchup. There's a bunch of righties. Uribe, go out there, go get your stuff. Mm-hmm. We still have trust in Jared Koenig to be able to shut down the ninth inning. And it just adds another arm where you can kind of mix and match. Wherever the high leverage spot is, once you get to that bullpen, maybe McGill doesn't pitch in the ninth inning. Maybe it's the seventh inning. He comes in to put out a fire because you need a strikeout. It just gives you that extra arm. And I guess I just have faith that he's going to be ready to go and healthy, because otherwise the Brewers wouldn't put him out there.
I'm just a nervous guy by nature when it comes to stuff like that, believe it or not.
I guess I just have such faith in Pat Murphy and this Brewers staff, but, that they're right. only putting people in positions to succeed.
Bingo.
And they're not. Trevor McGill, to me right now, as great as he is, because he's fantastic, he's an all-star.
Yeah.
He's a luxury to have.
Yeah.
Because the Brewers' bullpen has been that good. They haven't really missed a beat without him.
I was just about to bring that up.
Right? They haven't missed a beat without him. So him coming back, I mean, trust me, I would love to have him back. Giving you an extra high-leverage bullpen arm in the postseason is fantastic. But it is a luxury, and they performed well without him. So because of that, I don't think Murphy and this medical staff would go, oh, man, we really need Trevor McGill. We got to get him out there on the mound. What are we going to do? I think they're going, yeah, he's healthy enough to pitch. We want to get him out there, and he's going to show that he's ready to go, and he's going to beat Trevor McGill when we need him in the postseason in the divisional round.
Remember what got you here, and a huge part of that is how good that bullpen's been. So I'm not nervous about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just nervous about, hey, when you have a guy that's this good. He was a literal all-star, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is one of your best players who's missed the last month of action. I just want to be sure, A, he can respond, and B, still has his stuff, which – I'm not really that worried about the latter, because he's getting the opportunity. But
well, he is a reliever, honestly, and I guess, I mean, I wasn't a pitcher, so I don't know if the fact that he throws, like, basically two pitches, you know yeah. what I'm saying? It's like, sure. oh, he's got to get the feel for, if he's a starter, I've got to get the feel for the changeup and the slider yeah. and the fastball and the sinker
not
and
really
all
the
these things.
Here.
No, it's just, and really for him, it's, all right, because once he gets that feel for the curveball down, if he gets the feel for the curveball, good night.
It's over.
If he's throwing that curveball, yeah. if he's throwing that curveball for strikes, then you just need that fastball's going to
okay,
go away.
I feel bad out. Because I know I've asked you this before.
Yeah,
we refer to your NCAA record, two triples in an inning.
Yep.
I don't want you to tell me because
okay.
I think I might know.
Okay.
But you just said I wasn't a pitcher, which I knew.
Yep.
But I guess I don't know what position you played off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I'm gonna guess.
All right.
And I feel good about it.
Okay.
You played third base.
I did not. Did not.
Okay.
Did not.
You played second base.
No.
You weren't a catcher. No, you weren't. You were not a catcher,
that's
right?
Correct. I was a catcher in Little League, and then I transitioned to the position, because we already had a catcher when I got to high school then, so then I transitioned to a different position.
You weren't a first baseman. Definitely not a first baseman.
That's correct.
I don't want to rule out shortstop, because I don't want to cut you at the knees in terms of your athletic ability. You were shortstop?
No.
Oh, okay. So you played center field.
I played all three outfield spots. Yeah.
What was your primary?
So it depended upon the year. My sophomore year, I was in center. My junior year, I was in left. My senior year, I was in right.
Don't you want to be in center?
Yeah, but you kind of bounced around.
Were you not the best center fielder your senior year?
So we had a really good guy who played first base my sophomore year, but he was a really good athlete, also played football at Platteville. So then he went out and played center my junior year, and then I just transitioned to right my senior year.
What's the top quality of a center fielder? Speed?
Athleticism, being able to read and be able to get a jump off the ball, you know, jump off the bat. I gotta let Vinny know. First
yeah.
Bernie sighting.
Yeah,
they were curious about all the mascots that were out here today.
Yeah, that was an interesting question. A lot of people on stage, I can't really tell who, though. I have a bad view on it. I think it's all the celebrity pancake flippers are up there on the stage.
So, yeah, Double D's up there. Yeah, Pat Murphy's up there.
Travis Beckham, it looks like, the former Wisconsin tight end.
Correct. Tim Dillard is up there.
Very good. Bernie the Brewer?
Yeah, and then it's just Bernie Brewer.
We had this discussion, and maybe you're going to want to go to commercial break when I ask you this question. We had the discussion of whether or not Bernie Brewer is hot on KBN a couple days ago.
He's an attractive man.
He's an attractive man, great mustache, and he's a homeowner.
Yeah. Chalet owner.
Yeah.
With a sweet slide.
Is a chalet better than a house?
It's smaller.
Okay.
Smaller. But, I mean, again, he's just a single guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that much space.
Eligible bachelor.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's most eligible bachelor.
We dive into Packer Talk. Jason Wilde coming up next, live from the Pancake Breakfast, brought to us by our friends at the Neurospine Center, also brought to you by Annex Wealth Management, Boucher Automotive, and Delta Dental of Wisconsin.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up next from the Brewers postseason pocket pancake breakfast, presented by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin.
Ready? Down! Hut!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. Quite the version of Dude Friday. Pancakes and strofe instead of chew.
Dude.
Pancakes or waffles for you, Jason?
Ooh. Can I have both?
Kind of defeats the purpose, but also you're you, so... I guess I got a little out.
And they're really, but let's be honest, they're just a vessel for maple syrup, right? Like you just really want the maple syrup more than you even.
I don't know about that.
I mean, when we're talking waffles, a lot of people will go the whipped cream and the fruit route, you know, strawberries, things of that nature.
Pancakes and waffles, more of a butter vessel or syrup vessel?
This is hurting my head.
Put it on the poll, Joshy. Are pancakes more of a butter vessel or a syrup vessel?
And by the way, I'm going French toast over both of those.
Oh, wow.
That's a good take, actually. Wow. I agree with him on that.
All right, Jason, let's get to the serious stuff when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. Who the hell is going to play offensive line on Sunday?
Great question. I think from left to right, it will be Rasheed Walker.
Okay, so but he's been beat up in practice, right?
He is. He practiced yesterday, though.
Okay.
So, and he told me in now the very brief answers that he gives to me the question, quote, "I'm good."
All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheed.
Also, we're going to win the Super Bowl. In fact, we're going to win four in a row. So him at left tackle, Jordan Morgan at left guard, Elton Jenkins, who we know has not thought very highly of his own work at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and then if Belton's not physically able to play after not practicing yesterday, then it's going to have to be Darian Kennard. So that's the starting five. I would think they'll run out there. No offense to Zach Tom. I know he is doing what he can to keep up the charade, but he ain't playing on Sunday night, period. So, and then the other question is, like, they're to the point where this guy, Brant Banks, may have to play, at least in a backup role, who was just promoted from the practice squad. So it's going to be interesting. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, so long and short, it's still a mess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to have three of their preferred five starters. One of them is hobbled. And, yeah, it's less than ideal, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know what they say, shoot for 60%. So I guess on that, I saw the answer from Adam Stenovich yesterday, the offensive coordinator, about Jordan Morgan, and he disagreed with the notion of he was being spread too thin. He's played, like, every position on the offensive line, sans center, between the preseason and now three games into the regular season. What'd you make of his response, and how does Jordan Morgan bounce back against Dallas this week, assuming we see him?
Yeah, that's a good question. And frankly, I think my favorite part of it was then when I kind of incredulously followed up and said, you know, Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins made it look easy playing multiple positions. Mm. Are you sure that he's able to do that? And his response was, yes. In fact, he may be better at it than those guys. And I was like, I don't know what you had for your beverage in the afternoon, but I'm going to have some.
That's... our conversation with Jason Wildey brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. So the running game through three games, I would say, has probably been the most disappointing thing of the offense. Given that the offensive line is beat up, do they still try to get that running game going to the point where they want it, or do they just let Jordan Love air it out against a defense that has allowed a career high in yardage to a now benched quarterback in Russell Wilson and made Caleb Williams look the best he's ever looked last week?
Yeah, I would think they're still going to try and run the football. They believe in that. They want to do that. They got other stuff that comes off of that. So I would be very surprised if they don't keep trying to run the football. But again, you're right. The opportunity is there to be productive in the passing game for sure.
I'm curious now if Jordan Love is a shoe-in for Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC, because week one it was J.J. McCarthy, week two it was Jared Goff, both against the Bears. Then in week three, Caleb Williams did it against Dallas, meaning three of the NFC North's quarterbacks have won Offensive Player of the Week. So that makes Jordan Love a shoe-in, right, Jason? I'm doing the math correctly here.
Yeah, 400-yard, four-touchdown game I'm expecting on Sunday night, yes.
Yeah, me too. But jokes aside, we've continued to use the term get-right game for this offense because the Dallas defense has been that bad through 3 weeks. But there are multiple facets. To Gabe's point, the running game is something they've struggled to get going through 3 weeks. But we haven't seen Jordan Love really be, and I don't want to call him elite, but like great Jordan Love yet this year. This just feels like a really good opportunity for a quote-unquote get-right game for all parts of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two games where he threw for less than 200 yards, right? Like one where he was like 183 and one where he was 188. And then the Washington game, I think he was at 292. And look, the number of yards you throw for as a quarterback are not an indicator of whether you won the game. In fact, a lot of times if you throw the ball that much and have that much yardage, it means you're probably playing from behind and playing catch-up. So... I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday night. You know, I'm curious to see if they can be an explosive passing game. We've obviously seen glimpses of that. There was Tucker Kraft with the 57-yarder against Washington. There was Malik Heath with the downfield catch in the opener against the Lions. Romeo Doubs had a huge downfield play. You know, they want to be able to throw the ball downfield, especially when they're getting one high safety looks because teams are committed to stopping the run. But the fact of the matter is that their offense has been inconsistent. Even in the games that they won where they felt really good about beating two contenders in the NFC, you know, they LaFleur, Love, all those guys talked about how they had lengthy lulls offensively. So I don't think they're anywhere near what they want to be doing offensively. I don't think they're anywhere near how good they could be offensively. And this is an opportunity to perhaps finally kind of unlock their ability offensively.
Jason, when you take a look at the snap counts then, do you think part of that plan to try to find more consistent offensive play is giving more consistent play to wide receivers instead of trying to split it all up? I know Romeo Doubs has been the guy just in the first 3 weeks in terms of leading them in offensive snaps, but it also seemed like there was a pretty big line of demarcation after you got past Matthew Golden and Dontavian Wicks, that the Malik Heath's out there, that they're not going to be getting some of those opportunities, that they're just going to ride with those top three and try to find some consistency and rhythm with those guys on the field more often than not.
Yeah, I would agree, Gabe, that that makes sense. I think they need to play Bo Melton more. It was interesting to see him playing a little wide receiver again.
Yeah.
That seems to me to be the key for them offensively. But look, I know that if there's a wide receiver in that group that you could say that I've been a stan for, it's Wicks, right? I think that he's capable of being a really good player, and we've seen it in spurts. But if you go back to the second half of last season, and then you look at the first three games of this season, he hasn't dropped the ball. He's gotten open. I don't know where he is on the ASS meter. I think so too. Yeah. And so, Oh man. I don't know what their thought process is there, but without Jaden Reed, you know, to me, you want to stick with guys that have proven track records, and you have two guys that are unavailable, both Reed and Watson. And again, the other question I have is, it's great that Tucker Kraft was able to play, obviously, and he played over 80% of the snaps. You know, he had the catch and run to set up the blocked field goal. But, like, I am curious if is less more with him with this knee, or is the knee just not an issue at all? He admitted he was really scared by it in practice last week, but he made it sound like it's not an issue. So do you keep playing him as much as you are? And then how much do you want to get those other tight ends on the field? Because clearly that's a priority for LaFleur as well.
I wish you said the knee was an issue, Jason, because after looking at some of the plays that we did on All 22 with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub this week, he didn't block the way that we're used to seeing him block. There was it is Myles Garrett, and people whiff on Myles Garrett from time to time, but had a pretty big whiff in the run game on Myles Garrett. Didn't get what I typically think we see out of him in the run game in terms of his blocking.
Yeah, and let's be honest too, like, it was also, he was part of the problem on the field goal, right? I mean, he definitely misses on Denzel Ward. So, yeah, he's, you know, look, these guys are not superheroes. They're not like Batman who can, you know, fall off that high-level riser when he's fighting the Joker. And then he gets up and he's fine and he goes away because, you know, he needs to have the authorities chase him because that's the hero we need right now. Like, these injuries do factor into their performance and affect how effective they are.
Jason, certainly appreciate the time, my friend. Look forward to hearing more from you and Tausch coming up at 9 o'clock, and then I'm sure we're going to hear plenty from you this weekend with Packers-Cowboys coming up on Sunday night.
Live from Steinhoffels, not Packers Cowboys, that's at AT&T Stadium. But live from Steinhoffels today.
I mean, Steinhoffels is big enough.
I'd like to see that.
I think you could. Well, you could host a football game in Steinhoffels.
You'd have to move a lot of couches. Definitely.
Yes, you absolutely would. Appreciate it, Jason. Enjoy Steinhoffels.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I don't care if I'd ever get back for his route. Root for the Brewers.
It's a little, they got to pick up the tempo here.
They
got to pick it up.
Win, it's
gotta
a
keep people
shame.
Going
Come on,
in the
game. Four, it's one, two, three. three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
You're right, that was a little slow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's just, you just got to pick it up here.
I know it's only like, what, 7:30 in the morning? We could have gotten going a little bit, but it's good to have a polka band on site this morning.
That's what I'm saying. You can transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. More from the Brewers Pancake Breakfast at American Family Field next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, Jen, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday morning live from the Pocket Pancake Breakfast at AM Fam Field. Mr. Worldwide has fans everywhere. I'll tell you what. Gabe's taking pictures. He's shaking hands, kissing babies. He's back now. He rejoins us on this Friday morning. Wrong headset. Yeah, there we go.
Hey, this is the place to be this morning.
It is.
It's the place to be. Everybody's out here. Everybody's having a good time at the pancake breakfast for the Brewers. I mean, steady flow of fans. Everybody's chanting for Murph, cheering for Murph as he's up there, giving his speech, firing everybody up.
Don't get me wrong, because I know how passionate of a fan base the Brewers have and how everybody in the city and in the state has wrapped their arms around this team. I didn't expect this. I got to be honest with you. I didn't expect to see this many people up at 6 a.m. We got here, what, about 6:30?
Yeah.
And it was jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sweet-talk your way into the parking lot to get us in here on time to do the show at 7 o'clock. We got in about 6:35. And, I mean, it's packed to the brims. There's mascots everywhere. There's people partying everywhere. Coffees are flowing.
Oh, they got the Culver's mascot.
Yeah.
They got the Timber Rattlers mascot.
Both of them, Whiffer and Fang. Fang T. Rattler.
Okay. All right. I was not aware of their names. Glad you're here to update me.
You know me. Single-A baseball aficionado Alex Groh. No, just a Northeast Wisconsin kid. But I am blown away by the turnout. I'm blown away by the reception. And also, I got to say, for how many pancakes they're churning out, they were pretty darn good. I only had one, but I know you're offended, and it's a touchy subject.
Yeah, I mean, you could have shared, but, it is what it is.
You still got 2 hours to get some.
I guess I am not surprised. I mean, again, I was here last year when they did the drive-through tailgate. But in the open, we also, we talked about it when this happened. When we had the 1,000-year flood, and parts of the parking lot were flooded, and Canal Street was flooded, and like you could not get to the ballpark in all the ways that you typically do. And the fact that 33,000 people that Sunday, State Fair got shut down the night before. State Fair's down the street, right? And the fact that 33,000 people still showed up to the ballpark that day, despite it being incredibly hard. And again, people going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Again, that flood was no joke. And that's how important this team has been. Throughout training camp, it felt like to me the Brewers were still dominating all of August, even after the winning streak had come to an end. And had the Packers not made one of the biggest moves in franchise history in acquiring Micah Parsons, I feel like Brewers fever would have still overtaken just about everywhere the excitement, even for the Packers season starting. Now, again, you add Micah Parsons, they play the way they did the first 2 weeks, and the Packers are still king in this state. But the excitement around this team and the excitement for playoff baseball is just so high. I'm in a spot where I just feel good. I cannot wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see what happens with this team, because it's not like, well, if this goes right and that goes right. No, they're throwing out one of the best pitchers in the National League a week from Saturday in Game 1 of the NLDS against who knows who they're going to be playing, whether it's the Padres or the Cubs. They're going to be throwing Freddy Peralta out there against a team that who knows who they're going to be throwing, because they're going to have to go through the wild card. It's not going to be their number one guy, because he's going to have to pitch during the wild card series. So Freddie's going to get to go. This lineup is one of the best in baseball. They continue to put pressure on you when they're on the base pass, because outside of William Contreras, 1 through 9, this is an athletic team that's going to put pressure on the base paths. It's a fun style. I can't wait to see what this team does. And my confidence is at an all-time high when it comes to the Brewers.
Somebody put some dramatic music under that and play it on a loop until we get to the NLDS.
That was
the most inspirational / motivational speech from Gabe Neitzel I've ever heard in my entire life. I got goosebumps over here, Gabe. That was pretty darn good.
I honestly cannot wait.
But you're right.
For baseball.
I said it before, but it's been so cool to see the way this entire state has wrapped their arms around the Brewers. Not to say that people aren't Brewers fans, but I think just the magical carpet ride we've been on since mid-May when this team really turned it around, or early June. You know, the double, both of the win streaks, the 14-game winning streak, the best record in baseball, the Jacob Mizorowski hype, the All-Star game, Freddie Peralta, the Quinn Priester winning streak, you know, the Terangs, the Freelix of the world, Caleb Durbin, the Andrew Vaughn era, right? I mean, there's so many different parts of this season that you look back on with such gratitude of, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming.
And I know you mentioned it when you got in here, and the big difference for me this year is, well, you said, oh, man. Somebody said, oh, you can feel the magic.
You can feel the magic.
And when it came to the Brewers in years past.
Now, that guy might have been 14 beers deep. I don't know.
It doesn't matter, because a lot of people believe in that Brewers magic, though, right? Like, that's been a thing.
True.
And in years past, you kind of look at the team. And I've used the example of being at a playoff game a couple of years ago. Brewers get the bases loaded. There's two outs. All right, cleanup hitter's coming up. Cleanup hitter's Mark Canna. Crap.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That's tough. And it's okay. That, to me, that was some Brewers magic, because you really couldn't explain how they were doing. You couldn't make sense how they were getting to 90, 92, 93 wins, winning the division, being in the playoffs, and you just couldn't quite make it make sense. This year, it makes sense. And yes, it is. Yes, there's a little bit of Brewers magic behind it, because yes, Andrew Vaughn transforming into literally somebody who was unplayable into one of the best players in this lineup. But this team is just legitimately good. They legitimately have one of the best lineups in all of baseball. The bullpen is great. The starting rotation, despite being beat up, you still have faith in a lot of those guys to go out there and get you outs. It's not, to me, Brewers magic. It's no, these guys are that good. And they believe in each other. And because of that and the way that they play, it's a relatable team. People want to wrap their arms around Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins, Bryce Terang, obviously Yelly, and the way he's played this year. It just feels like a team that's easy to root for.
Has his resurgence, Christian Yelich's, has that flown under the radar this year?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
A little bit.
And I guess I'm not mad about that. I don't mind flying under the radar, because for being the best team in baseball for as long as the Brewers have been this season, it's been 2 months at this point that they've had the best record in baseball just about. I feel like his season and his resurgence is not talked about. Now, he's still looking for that elusive 30th home run. But the last 30 home run, 100 RBI season he had was his 2018 MVP campaign.
Yep.
Right? And obviously he had more than that in both of those categories. But that's just how good Yelich has been since returning from the back injury. He can actually swing all the way through. He can follow through on his swings now. And it's showing offensively. He's so consistent. And has really been such a huge part of why the Brewers are where they are. And there's so many other pieces that you just rattle them off. But I really feel like he's flown under the radar. But again, I don't know that that's a bad position to be in.
Nope.
When you're the top seed in baseball and have the best record in baseball and have a very good opportunity. What do they call it on WTMJ? The super magic number is down to one. So either a win or a Phillies loss this weekend would give you the number one seed in the National League.
The best record in baseball, period.
Yeah, period. And home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So that is the best part about this, right, is obviously you've still got to win the games come the NLDS next weekend. But you control your own destiny in that capacity. You will play as many home games as you possibly can throughout the remainder of the postseason as long as you stay alive, because that's how good you've been through the 162.
So this Brewers team we know is very likable. And the Packers team I think we knew was pretty likable. But I really like some of the things I've heard coming out of 1265 this week as they get ready to go down to Dallas. We're going to hear from Tucker Kraft coming up next. But, of course, our Brewers coverage, as they are just so undeniably relentless, brought to you by Neuro Spine Center of Wisconsin. Don't risk it. Go where the pros go. Professional athletes trust Neurospine Center of Wisconsin, and you can too. Additional Brewers coverage at 94.5 ESPN, also brought to you by our friends at Annex Wealth Management, Boucher Automotive, and Delta Dental of Wisconsin.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up next from the Brewers Postseason Pocket Pancake Breakfast, presented by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin.
Hanging out at the Pancake Breakfast at American Family Field for the Brewers. It is starting to calm down just a little bit. We have about an hour left, not of just the show, but of the Pancake Breakfast, as different people have gone up, addressed the crowd here and there. People have been coming in and out, grabbing their pancakes, starting their Fridays right. Final regular season series of the season begins tonight against the Reds. And then a week from Saturday, we know the Brewers are going to be in the divisional series. And as long as they win one or the Phillies lose one this weekend, the Brewers will be taking on the winners of the Padres and the Cubs. Alex Stroph is our cousin sub of the day. And, of course, the Packers playing this weekend as well. Big game going back down to Dallas, trying to bounce back, Stroph. And I just love what I have heard out of the locker room from whether it's Micah Parsons, whether it's Elgton Jenkins saying that he's played like bleep and he needs to be better. Just the self-awareness of, hey, we need to be better has been, to me, at an all-time high, especially on the offensive side. And here's what Tucker Kraft had to say about the offense yesterday inside Lambeau.
You know, we did great week one, week two, coming out, trying to put points on the board. We just got to stick to that. It doesn't matter if we're home or away. We're going to come out on the first drive and try to get points on the board. That is just the demand of our offense. The defense needs us to play like that so we can play complimentary to them. They hold a team, you know, to 13 points in the fourth quarter. Like, it was 10-0 up until the fourth quarter. That's remarkable. Not a lot of defenses are doing that. We have the best defense in the NFL. So we have to help them out. You know, we're beating ourselves up and we're getting behind the sticks with pre-snap penalties. And you know, we're fed up with our own mistakes. And we just got to be able to limit those in the future and continue to move on.
I just love the self-awareness of him saying, hey, we got to be better. We've got this great defense. And the Packers will have, at the end of the season, they do right now, statistically, one of the best defenses in the NFL, if not the best defense at the end of the day. And he recognizes, again, the Browns have a very good defense. Got to score more than 10 points.
Obviously, that's the biggest reason as to why they lost, aside from the Jordan Love interception. They probably could have won that game by scoring 10 points. Prior to that interception, but nonetheless. So I think what's going on at 1265 is a natural evolution of leadership. And what I mean by that is we've pointed out, and again, I know you and I are on the same team with this. We can't use this as an excuse anymore, but it is a fact. They are the youngest team in the NFL. It's not an excuse anymore. It is a fact. So you naturally see some of these guys evolving into leaders. Tucker Kraft being one of those guys. Xavier McKinney being one of those guys. We heard from him yesterday as well, and he talked about how they were acting like they won the freaking Super Bowl after 2 weeks, and that's not good enough. And while, yes, they do have one of the best defenses in the NFL, I'm imagining not every game is going to be perfect for their defense either, as good as they've been through 3 weeks. The offense is certainly more of the concern through 3 weeks because either whether it's taking the foot off the gas a little bit, you know, not really stomping out opponents the way they should have in the first 2 weeks, and then ultimately not being able to conjure up any points, really, last week against Cleveland. You've got to be better when you have a defense that's going to back you up the way they do. I'm not asking Jordan Love to be Superman. I'm not asking him to be vintage Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. I don't need 35 points a game out of him. But I need 17 or 24. You got to win football games, and this defense will always keep you in it, but it's good to have almost a reality check of sorts. I don't want to call it a wake-up call necessarily, but a reality check of sorts in that loss to Cleveland. Now you go to Dallas a week before the bye against the worst defense in the league.
Through three games defensively, I think you can point to a lot of great individuals like, oh, he had a great game, he had a great game. Through three games offensively, I think you can say one player one time had a great game.
Tucker Kraft in week two. Yep.
And that's not to say that everybody else has been bad, right? No. Like, I would say Jordan Love has been good. Like, he was good in those first two games, but in the second half against the Lions, you know, the majority of the statistics he put up came in the first half. A vast majority, like 90% of the statistics he did were in the first half, and it was a great first half, but he didn't have that complete game. Kind of the same thing against Washington in week two, and obviously the offense just wasn't good enough last week. I think that you can say definitively that one player's had a great game for the Packers offensively, and that's got to change.
Yeah.
They have too much talent on that side of the ball for that to be the case, especially when you have somebody like Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Right? Like
you've got to get him going. You have to, right? Because what we saw from him last year was consistently being the workhorse of this offense, and it hasn't been good enough through 3 weeks.
No, he's been straight up bad.
Yeah. And so
the running game right now, there's no other word for it. It's bad.
Yeah.
And the offensive line being beat up is not going to help. So Josh Jacobs, he has to be better. And some of it is, yes, the offensive line. But we ran through that stat earlier this week of you know, rushing yards over expected.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to know all the things that go into it. It's just, okay, here's how everything's blocked. What do you get? He's last in the league. That he's got to be better. Again, I'm not expecting him to be Derrick Henry, break every tackle that he sees, rush for 1,900 yards, but he's got to be closer. And I wasn't expecting him to follow up last year, which statistically speaking was one of the best five seasons a running back has ever put together in the history of a 100-year Green Bay Packer franchise. Like that, there's some names on that list that he joined by having the season he did last year. I wasn't expecting him to do exactly that again because that was going to be always tough to follow up. But it's got to be better than this. It's got to be better than 16, you know. He hasn't gone over 4 yards of carry yet.
Yeah.
In three games.
That's bad. And it was under 2 against Cleveland. And again, I know it was a weird game. They have good run defense. The offensive line was in shambles. But 1.9 yards carry, Gabe? 1.9!
It's bad. It's bad.
That might be an understatement.
Yeah. And they need to find an answer to that.
Yeah.
They absolutely need to find an answer to that.
I think they will. I don't know if it's this week, but I think they will. And there is a legitimate excuse in how inconsistent the offensive line has been, whether that's in terms of personnel or performance. But you got to get him going. Because last year, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week when I joined you, last year a big thing or a big cheat code, if you will, for their offense was using the run to open the pass. That has not been existent through 3 games. Luckily, Jordan Love was pretty good in that first and second win against Detroit and Washington, respectively. But you've got to get Jacobs going in order to let Jordan Love get going to the level we think he can be at. You saw that during that stretch with Aaron Jones, those 8 games we always refer back to at the end of 23. Aaron Jones was awesome, which allowed Jordan Love to also be awesome. You saw it several times last year. You really need Jacobs to get going, and I think that takes not only this offense but this entire team to another level and another echelon in terms of best teams in the NFL.
Professional athletes like Christian Yelich trust NeuroSpine Center of Wisconsin, where surgeon Dr. Brandon Rebholz is to thank for helping get Milwaukee's MVP back on the field for a stellar season. NeuroSpine Center of Wisconsin, they bring us our Brewers coverage here on 94.5 ESPN. So much more to come in hour number 2. Craig Karmazin, we're going to talk with Marty Ronski, COO of the Milwaukee Brewers, here live from the Brewers Pancake Breakfast on Jen Gibb & Chewy.